I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Washington, D.C. What do we want to talk about?
That's a great question, Cody Rhodes. It's a question I tussle with every day. What do you want to talk about? It's my job to kind of identify that, and sometimes it's going to piss people off because they don't want to hear about it. Paulie wants to hear about the New York Bricks and the Indiana Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals. Or some fantasy projection for the Washington Commanders. Not everybody's going to care about Ryan Clark or Robert Griffin III having a urination contest on social media. I get it. It's spurned out of something that actually happened in sports and not just two guys that are completely bored. But to say that nobody cares about it, to say that people don't have an opinion on this, they always do, because it's much more than just a basketball play. It's become personal. It's become, quite honestly, along the lines of race. And whenever you have those volatile ingredients, you're always going to get buzz and mentions and response and passion and arguments and opinions. And that's what we do here.
And I think, because we were talking about this earlier on our show, I think this is just, it's a great thing for the WNBA, but at the same time, it's like not such a good, because these people that are talking about the game, you listen to them talk, and they clearly don't care about the game outside of the drama affiliated with it.
Right.
This drama is going to bring a lot of eyeballs into it, but there are going to be people, and a lot of them are in the media, and I don't know if Robert Griffin is one of these people, but that are just using this storyline to push, like, I don't want to say to push an agenda, but it's just, it's more compelling. It gets a better reaction out of a wider fan base than just Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark. Let's break down this film and let's talk about what happened on this play in the basketball.
Well, realm. To your point, AMAC, like, anybody can do analysis of what happened on Saturday. I immediately, when I saw the video, I was in Ohio. I was with my sister. And, that looks like a hard foul. As usual, I said, Angel Reese making something out of nothing. Now, I will say this. I mean, a lot of people could have attacked me. Some people did. And you can say, you don't understand the plight of Angel Reese. I got it. I don't know what it's like to be Angel Reese. All I know, I don't even know what it's like to be Caitlin Clark. Just because I'm white and she's white doesn't make me qualified to speak on the challenges and the pressures or the tribulations of Caitlin Clark. We ultimately weigh in opinion-wise and commentary-wise on a lot of people and things that we don't know. But that's where I left it. Where Ryan Clark and Robert Griffin III have now taken it, and Clark first, again, is the issue. It is taken a standard basketball play and maybe certainly a rivalry between two teams and two athletes, and maybe a jealousy and maybe an envy. I'm sure there is that. From that, which we would have probably talked about a little, to an escalated war between two guys that I don't think people were expecting Ryan Clark and Robert Griffin III to be going at each other like this. I didn't know that they had this kind of bad blood in their relationship. I didn't know that. But apparently they do. You know, so that's why it's blown up and become such a big thing. Anytime you incorporate race into something, and here's two black guys arguing with each other, but it's a black female athlete and a white female athlete. That's what spurred the original thing. But anytime you inject race, it is going to boil the emotions. It is going to make people, for lack of a better term, insane. Because people feel so strongly, one side or the other. And that's how we got to this point. But we wouldn't have gotten to this point, again, going back to the original problem, we would not have gotten to this point of a measuring contest between Ryan Clark and Robert Griffin III if Ryan Clark did not do what he did. We would not have gotten to this point. All right, back to the phones. We go. Let's get to Johnny in D.C. next up on the Team 980. What's up, Johnny? How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
All right, John, what's going on?
How's it going? Ah, man, I'm just talking. I want to talk about this foolishness that y'all talking about today.
Yes, sir.
This is crazy. I mean, we go from having now. I would want to speak on your take on the play first. It was a good hard foul 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Today, that was a horrible call. It was a horrible foul. And if it was the other way around, the foul would have been a way bigger issue. If it was the other way around, reverse the person who did the foul with the person who received the foul, it would have been a much bigger deal.
So you're saying if Angel Reese had committed that foul, that exact type of foul against Caitlin Clark, people would be up in arms and people would be screaming about race and this, that, and the other.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, I disagree with you on that, but people would have been critical of Angel Reese. Yes, I think people would have said, was that necessary? I believe some people were critical of Caitlin Clark and said, you know, was that necessary? But ultimately, it's not like she kicked her in the shin. It's not like she chopped her at the knees. It was a slap arm bar across the midsection.
Yeah, 20 years ago, it was just a good hard foul. But today, and how they call fouls today, and how people act about that same kind of foul today, they would have been calling the police. They would have wanted to press charges. It would have been a way different situation. Now, as far as Ryan Clark and RG3 is concerned, it's like sensationalizing the situation for sensational sake, I guess. Ryan had no reason to go that far, but obviously he decides to take it there. And instead of apologizing, you double down and go even further. That's just to make it be, look at me, I'm in the news and you're in the news. Now we're both in the news and high five each other for everybody being in the news. But as far as that's concerned, it's just them being extra, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I hear you, and I appreciate the phone call, Johnny. Thank you. Good call. I mean, you know, ultimately, I disagree with the veracity of the move or of the foul, ultimately. Again, I do think it was a hard foul. No problem, technical, this, that, whatever you want to do. Wasn't ejectable. It's not suspendable. It's not, in my opinion, any way, shape, or form than hate, you know, of some sort of hate. And I said, and I will not back down from this, Angel Reese has said some things that are, quite honestly, absurd. I mean, she said nobody believed in her. Everyone hated her. No, stop. This is over the last couple of years. This is not like just this weekend or anything like that. You know, she was mad in the moment, had to be held back. After the game, I think it was sarcastic, but maybe it was real. She said, oh, you know, it was called a hard foul, da-da-da-da-da, and let's move on. Okay, fine. But she has said some things in the past that have irked me, that have rubbed me the wrong way. They have. Because I don't buy when she says, nobody believed in me, nobody thought I could make it, nobody... What? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? And if that response from me bothered you, we could talk about it. But she has said some things in the past that has irked me, that has bothered me, that she shouldn't have probably said. Let your play do the talking, man. I understand she is not a good offensive player at all, period. She is a great rebounder. She hustles. She plays with energy and effort. She's a winner. She's not a great offensive player, period. Not a great shooter. Not a great scorer. Doesn't have an all-around game, but can play a rugged physical style that can lend a certain energy. And she can win and has won. If that's me being a hater.
Bit of a hot take. Just a spicy take.
You think so?
A little spicy take.
Okay. All right. I saw you ruffle in your eyebrows over there. All right. Okay. Let's see. Let's see what else we can get and find. Let's get to Jeremy in Baltimore. Next up, Team 980. Jeremy, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep, thanks for making it.
First of all, it's really interesting that one of the callers before your last caller described Angel Reese, who's averaging a double-double in her second year in professional basketball, as being propped up, right? And, like, she didn't, as though to suggest she hasn't earned what the success that she's had up until this point. And that's just such a small microcosm of what Angel Reese probably, and a lot of black women, have to face on a daily basis, which is a great lead into my point. It is so relevant that Ryan Clark recognizes that RG3 couldn't possibly understand the context in which Angel Reese feels, because he's not having conversations with a black woman on a daily basis that can describe those scenarios and what that must feel like to have people saying that they're propped up, or that they aren't as good, or that they're not as beautiful, or that their hair isn't as straight, or whatever it may be. It is not your job, it's not even Robert's job, to pretend to understand what that is. Ryan Clark is simply pointing out a fact. He didn't attack his wife. He said she's white. That's not offensive. That's a fact. And the fact is that they're not having conversations that otherwise he probably would be, right? And you said yourself a few minutes ago that during your career, you've had to take a step back to recognize that maybe you weren't looking at the whole picture of how a story should be told or understood. And that's the point that Ryan Clark is making to RG3. He needs to take a step back. And we all know that a lot of his takes have been way off base as it relates to just garnering clicks and this and that.
Robert, you mean? Yes.
Yeah, Robert is what I mean. Yep. So, and let me end by this. It is impossible to suggest that race doesn't play a role in most interactions. What Robert is essentially suggesting is that, in his argument, that he's colorblind. It doesn't matter if you're white or black. Let me try to educate your audience for a second. It absolutely matters. You can't tell me that the sky is green when I'm looking at it and it's blue. You can't tell me that someone being black versus white does not have an impact on how they are treated, how they will be perceived, if they will be considered to be propped up, if they're considered a thug if there's a hard foul versus if it's a hard foul. It matters. And until we have uncomfortable conversations about our differences and what those differences suggest for those people's experience, we'll never have the ability to empathize. Let me, real quickly, 15 seconds. It drives me nuts. And this is a separate conversation, but it has to do with just a lack of awareness and context. It drives me nuts when you and others dig their heel in and refuse to call the Washington Commanders anything but the Commanders. The name that was changed because in Webster's dictionary, it is defined as being an offensive term.
Right.
Okay. The league decided to. So every time you use that term, regardless of what, if they were a former Washington player or the Washington team did this, you are showing the rest of us that you are digging your heels in to a certain way of thinking. And I don't care that Dan Snyder put out a survey and a group of Native Americans said it wasn't offensive.
Jeremy, I don't know where you're going with this, though.
You're showing us all.
Jeremy, I call them the Commanders all the time. What am I supposed to do?
Every time you call them their old name, you are showing all of us your true colors, the irony, right?
No.
Thank you for taking my call. Have a great day.
Thank you. Your call was great up until then. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Santana Moss never played for the Washington Commanders. Am I supposed to say Santana Moss is one of the greatest Washington Commanders of all time? No! Other than a mistake, I call them the Commanders all the time. I'm the only talk show host in this market that has the balls, the grapefruits, the onions, to tell people that they are full of crap when it comes to the Commander's name being such a terrible name. I'm the only one. Do I make an occasional mistake? Yes. Do I refuse to call London Fletcher one of the greatest Commanders of all time? Yes. He's a Redskin. He played for the Washington Redskins. That's what he did. Facts. Facts. All right. John is mad at me at coach underscore knock N-A-K 7. He says, I think your show today is for content and not meaningful dialogue. Some topics you are just not an expert on, and today is a day where it shows. Never claimed to be an expert on anything. Talk show host. Never claimed to be an expert on football, on hockey, and basketball, baseball, on human relations, on race relationships. Never claimed. But I have no choice but to talk about this. I'm not doing my job if I don't talk about this. So you're welcome to have any criticism you want, and I appreciate you listening and not being afraid to say your point, but I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do by simply saying, hey, this is two guys that both have pretty powerful platforms, and one guy went somewhere where he should not have gone. Now, if you believe Jeremy in Baltimore, he absolutely should have gone there. Nobody is saying that Ryan Clark insulted Robert Griffin III. As a matter of fact, I went out of my way to say, I take umbrage with Robert when we played the audio to say he didn't personally insult. Or whatever Robert kept saying. I said it exactly. I said, did he cross a line? Should he have gone there? Yes. I don't think I have to be black, white, red, blue, young, old, male, female to say, hey, you know what? We shouldn't have gone there. That's what triggered this. That's what started this. As far as the Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark stuff, people are going to make that about black and white. I think that's about personality and personality. I think that's athlete and athlete. I think some of that is just going to be natural, right? Larry Bird and Magic Johnson had a tremendous respect for each other, but when they were on the court and they were battling for NBA championships, do you think they were just nice and hugging it out all the time? No, they wanted to kick each other's ass. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 27 minutes after the hour, let's get back to it on the phone so we can get as many of you guys in as we can. You know what? We opened up the show talking about the national sweep of the Orioles over the weekend, and I mentioned a friend of mine, and he's here to try and defend himself, but I know he also wants to weigh in on Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark and Ryan Clark and Robert Griffin. Is that true, Birdman? You want to weigh in on both and tell me how right I am?
You know, the second one I will tell you how right you are. The first one I will not.
Uh-huh.
So the Orioles, as always is the case when it comes to talking Baltimore sports, you know absolutely nothing. So the immediate concern was Brandon Hyde. Mm-hmm. That's what I said.
Yeah.
In getting rid of him. So if you go back to the All-Star break last year, go through the playoffs, and even through the first, 40-some games of this year, you will see that they have declined significantly.
Yes.
Now, Mike Elias is not going to fire himself.
Right.
Brandon Hyde, you can say, well, he didn't have the horses. He didn't do this. The problem I have with Brandon Hyde was he was trying to platoon 2 to 3 people at a given position every game.
Okay, wait a second. I'm going to jump in here, though. My reason for attacking you was based on our personal friendship, right? Our guy Frederick, and I have a text chain back and forth, and you have forever advocated and strongly called for the firing of Brandon Hyde. And the reason why I said that I was surprised based on your responses, I had never heard anything about Mike Elias, the general manager, and then all of a sudden you said he's the worst general manager in baseball yesterday on Twitter. And I was surprised by that. So that's why I called you out.
Well,
not for platooning, not for anything. You were right, apparently, on Brandon Hyde. I mean, obviously they fired him, so you were right there, I guess, to some degree.
So Mike Elias, and the reason I say he needs to go is because where's the player development at, Chris?
Okay.
So
fair.
Everybody wants to talk about how great the farm system is. Adley Rutschman, he's batting .204.
Yep.
He's not even a freaking average catcher. You know? So Ryan Minor. Not Ryan Minor.
Ryan Mountcastle.
Mountcastle.
Yeah.
Yes. They should have ditched him when he had 30 home runs.
So your point is that young players are not developing. All fair, okay? Now, they did win 90-plus games the last 2 years. So, and got swept out of the playoffs in both years, both at home, right? Or all 4 games at home.
Yep.
Clearly, something is not right, wrong, whatever. Nobody's denying that. I guess my point is, you know, I had never heard you say anything bad about Elias. Now, if you're blaming him for letting Corbin Burns and Anthony Santander go, okay. I mean, I think some of that is ownership. Some of that
I can't blame him on Burns.
Okay.
I can't blame him on Burns. Burns wasn't the playing the West Coast.
Fair. Okay. But I guess my point is there's a lot of people to point the finger at, and you were solely blaming it on the manager. Then the manager gets fired, and then you change your tune, and all of a sudden the GM sucks. So just pointing it out. That's all.
Well, hang on. I'm going to take this a step further, and then I'm going to get to Ryan Clark in a minute.
Yeah.
So, Rubenstein.
Yes.
David Rubenstein, our new owner.
Yes.
Last year, my man is out there dancing in the dugout, throwing T-shirts in the splash zone. Where the hell are you at this year?
I don't know. He doesn't want to be seen because his team sucks. But here's how I would ask it, and then we'll move on quickly to Clark and that mess. If the Nationals fired Davey Martinez last week, 2 weeks from now, whatever, like, would I expect Nationals fans to then, as soon as Davey goes, who they blame for a lot of this, would I expect them to jump right to Mike Rizzo? No, I wouldn't expect it. So that's why I was thrown off by your criticism of Elias, because I knew you hated Hyde.
You can only handle one thought at a time.
You're smart enough to walk and chew gum at the same time. Give me something quick on Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese.
So everybody wants to talk about racism, right? I remember, 2 years ago when Caitlin Clark came into the league, and Chris, I just retweeted this to you. Look at some of the fouls that she took, okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't know what it's like to be her. We don't know what it's like to be Angel Reese. And if you go back on that play and you look, you'll see Caitlin Clark actually point to a foul that should have been called but wasn't. And then she went up there and she hard-fouled Angel. Nobody wants to talk about that. But
that's
if you
fair.
Go back and you look.
That's fair. I remember the first couple of weeks. I mean, there was no doubt the old guard of the WNBA. And let's be honest, some of those fouls were committed by black women, right? people were like, wait, what the hell is going on here? They are jealous. They are envious. They are bitter. They are whatever. And Caitlin Clark was not saving the league, but she was helping the league thrive and take another step. And listen.
But Chris, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing real quick. The WNBA wants to point this out, the racism. They actually pointed out, from what I read, and I don't know how true this is. I hope this isn't. When Angel was taking the free throws, the fans were booing. They're going to look at that for racism.
I don't know. I didn't see that in their specific statements. But we don't know. We didn't get enough details when the specific allegations, where exactly they came from. So if you read about free throws, I did not see that in all the articles that I read, and I read a number of them. So I've got to figure out.
I'll see if I can find
okay,
it.
Please do. Thank you, Birdie. Appreciate you. Still love you, even though you drive me crazy. All right, that's my guy, the Birdman. All upset about the Orioles in a comment that I made an hour and a half ago. But also added something to it. Speaking of the Indiana Fever and the Chicago Sky, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese got a number for you in just a sec that's going to probably blow your mind on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Yep, that game on Saturday afternoon between Clark, Indiana, Reese, Chicago, and more drew an average, they say, of 2.7 million viewers on ABC, making it the most watched WNBA regular season game in 25 years. According to Sports Media Watch, the game peaked at supposedly an average of 3.1 million viewers. We still await any word on the allegations of racism and racist chants against Angel Reese that the WNBA, Indiana Fever, and the Players Association have all issued statements on. Meanwhile, from the NFL, Joe Tooney traded from the Kansas City Chiefs over to the Chicago Bears over the offseason. Well, now he's solidifying himself in Chicago. Two-time All-Pro guard, agreeing to a two-year contract extension, $17.5 million per season. It is a three-year deal in total with a $51 million value and $33.5 million of it fully guaranteed, according to his agent. And this from Major League Baseball, Juan Soto struggling in his first year with the Mets. It was a lost weekend for the Mets and Soto in New York against his former team, the Yankees. He didn't run out a pitch and then again had a home run bounce off the green, a would-be home run rather, bounce off the Green Monster for a single Monday night at Fenway Park. And now his current manager, Carlos Mendoza, says he wants to talk about Soto not hustling out of the batter's box. Again, it happened over the weekend as well. And last night at Fenway Park in Boston. Nationals come home tonight for the Atlanta Braves. They lost 3 out of 4 to the Bravos last weekend, but they swept those Orioles over the weekend, 21-27. You listen to it, 106.7 The Fan at 6:45. And that's what's trending.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, good to have you with us. Right back to the phones we go so we can get on to some other things. Let's go first to Mark in Largo, and then we'll get to Paulie in D.C. What up? Paulie in the 757, I should say. What up, Mark? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing, Chris? How's your day going?
I'm good, Mark. It's
Seems
going
like you're having a rough one.
It's not a rough one. Not a rough one for me at all. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't say anything.
No, you didn't do anything wrong. Look, let me say this. This is not about, I think a lot of people are getting sidetracked here. This is not about Angel Reese, not about Caitlin Clark. It's about Ryan Clark, about Robert Griffin III. And from what I see and from what you say right now, if I'm Ryan Clark, you overstepped your bounds. You are 11 years older than Robert Griffin III. You overstepped your bounds. You drew him into a battle where I think, to me, I think he went below the line. Even in his comeback, Chris, when he talked about how he protected him, what does that have to do with anything?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just felt like, you know, Ryan, you call this man and give him an apology, please. Just do that. Both of y'all are out of line, really. But his, I think Ryan
his apology is not coming. That based on what he tweeted.
And see that's the sad part. Yeah. You know what? That's what I say is sad. You can say whatever you want to say about RG3, and a lot of people can say that, and I don't know him, but what this is what I know about him. When he wanted to talk to Stephen A. Smith about what went on at ESPN, Stephen A. Smith came on his show, and they had a down conversation. One thing about RG3, he doesn't run from smoke, period. He doesn't run from smoke. And I got a lot of respect for someone that'll deal with tough questions that people will say about him to his face, but he will deal with that. Ryan, on the other hand, is acting like, you know, come on, Ryan is older than this, man. He's better than this. I mean, he's crying on a podcast about somebody that he knew, and I understand how he felt about it, but you break down on that? I mean, he's got a lot of emotional issues that's been happening the last couple of weeks, man, seriously. So Ryan just needs the oldest. Just give this guy an apology, man, because it's not about – I think people are getting sidetracked. Look, it's not – look, Harv, I'm not going to talk about race when it comes to – look, we all know what's going on. The media has drummed up everything about a certain group of people that they act like the only thing that happens on a certain race of people, it happens in that race of people, and they ignore what happens in other races of people. And I think that's the biggest culprit in all of this is the media. Not you, though, Chris. I'm not talking about you.
Mm-hmm.
Not talking about you. Okay.
Well, I will say this. I'm not perfect by any stretch, and I don't always understand everything that affects everybody. But what I've become better at is maybe understanding that even when I don't like something, and I don't like a lot of the things that Angel Reese has said, that I don't understand what it's like to be Angel Reese.
Okay.
And that is fair. Now, I don't understand the good stuff or the hard stuff that she's got to deal with. You know, I just don't get – I don't understand it because I'm not her.
I think the number one thing – let me say this, and I love Angel Reese, and I think Caitlin Clark is a beautiful basketball player. Angel Reese needs a real good publicist. When you get to that level and you're going to be in a spotlight like you are, look at Jayden Daniels. Jayden Daniels has a very good – his mother is kind of his publicist. He doesn't say anything stupid.
I would agree.
You got to – and some people, I think – that's where I think RG3 made his major
Mark,
mistake.
This is the point. This is the point. This is the best point of the show so far that you just made. How many times did we in the media have to say, Robert, why did you
say that?
Why did your father say that?
Well, Jay Green needs one too.
Right? How many times
– Look. When you start saying stupid stuff, you may need to say, you know what? I need to get me someone who can give me a personality conflict so I can shut the hell up and stop getting myself into trouble. That's where Robert screwed up at. That's where Angel Reese is screwing up at. Angel Reese is a very beautiful woman. I'm not denying that. She's okay as a basketball player. She's okay. And I have no problems with that, but she definitely needs a publicist.
I totally agree.
In the public eye like that and not have a publicist. I think Caitlin Clark needs a publicist. It's not just Angel Reese. Caitlin Clark needs one too.
Yeah.
A lot of these people need publicists.
Yes.
You can't go around here acting like if you got millions of dollars, you're not going to have somebody on the side to say, you need to do this, you need to do that.
It's fair.
I don't like a lot of things with LeBron James, but the one thing about LeBron James is when he's dealing with the media, he knows what to say and what not to say. Same with Steph Curry. You gotta learn how to deal with, because this is your life right here.
I would say Steph Curry does a better job of it than LeBron James, but that's me. I understand your point.
Well, that's because Steph grew up in the business.
Yeah.
He had a father that was in the business.
Right.
So, to be fair, it's not easy to compare.
That's
LeBron
fair.
Had to learn on his own.
That's
but to be fair.
Fair
to LeBron, he had to get on his own. So that, and that's not his fault. But in general, I just think that sometimes when you have this amount of money, you got to get a publicist.
That's fair.
You can't keep acting like you were in college.
Mark, I agree. And listen, I'll let you run on that. I appreciate the phone call. Again, guys get in so much trouble for the things that they say. Not trouble legally, trouble controversy. Think about it. It was the ultimate undoing for Robert. Besides the fact that he couldn't play well enough. I mean, he obviously could play at a point. Now, again, how much the injury? Different argument. But Robert's biggest vice was everything that he said and how undermining it was. And controversial, whatever. And polarizing. And how bothersome it was to a group of men, black and white. Because there were black players in that locker room that did not, flat out, did not like Robert at all. Because they thought he was a phony. And because they were constantly having to deal with the crap that he'd say. You know, as an athlete, I mean, Steph Curry doesn't say anything really polarizing or interesting. Steph Curry's perfect. Now, Mark's point is, he grew up, Del Curry was his dad. You know, you're better off saying nothing or next to nothing. Let's get to Paulie. What up, Paulie?
Hell to the W. Russell, what's good, man? How you doing?
Hello, Paulie. Are you busy taking cheap shots at me on Twitter or what's the deal?
It ain't cheap shots, man, but it's what I thought. I speak the truth.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? I speak the truth.
Uh-huh.
Look, let me say
that nobody cares. I got you.
They laid dollar short. But yeah. Let me say this about this situation, because it's two situations. Let me start with the Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark. Man, it was a basketball play. It was a hard foul. We see players react like this all the time in the NBA, and it's not on the front page of the news or on the internet. And it's only because the rivalry that they have, and the WNBA has to relish this, because you have a lot of great players, great women players in that league. And it took for Caitlin Clark and the momentum she had from college, where she was the most dominant player in college, right? It took for her to have to come to the league for this league to finally get attention. And Angel Reese was part of her narrative in college. So it's a natural rivalry. Anything they do is going to be blown out of the water.
Correct. Right?
So I'm not even sweating that. So that's okay. The WNBA needs this. You just had the viewership ratings, right?
Honestly, Paulie, every sport needs this. You don't think my beloved NHL or Major League Baseball? Of course, every sport needs it.
Right. But like I said, you just announced the viewership ratings and all that. But nobody even sitting here saying it was a 30-point game.
Yeah.
Right? So now let's go to RG3 and Ryan Clark, all right? RG3 is a clown. The words from my man G for the shot. He's a clown. And you just said that when he was in the locker room, the players thought he was phony, he was this, and he was that. He hasn't changed. The same person he was when he was in the locker room wearing a burgundy gold is the same person he is now on media, right? And the fact that he can't, regardless of what his opinion of that situation between them two were, when you come on camera and you mimicking a woman by rolling your neck and cutting your eyes, and then your wife is in the background doing a ratchet girl clap, you injected yourself and your wife. You opened both of y'all up to criticism because you were trying to mimic a black woman in the media. And your wife is in the background, and you know, the younger generation, they know what I'm talking about when I say the ratchet girl clap, when you're talking, you're clapping at the same time.
Right.
So she opened herself up to that criticism. And I think Ryan Clark, you know, respectfully and professionally addressed that in a manner which was, I didn't find nothing wrong with it. Everything he said, it was right. Like, you know, you mimicking this girl, but it's bigger than what you making fun of that. But for Angel Reese, it is bigger than that.
Let me ask you this, because I may have missed the timeline. Was the incident with Robert's wife before Clark said what he said or after?
It was before. That's
okay.
Why Ryan Clark said.
Okay, so that's what instigated.
And that's what I'm saying. If you,
right.
if, And you watch a lot of his videos. She's in a lot of his videos.
Yeah, I try not to watch a lot of his videos because there's nothing. There's nothing that he says that I'm interested in.
Right. That's my whole point. So when you have your wife in your videos and you're making sports and being the sports point,
gotcha.
She's open to the same. That's just like when I call your radio show, regardless of what I say, right or wrong, I'm opening myself up to criticism also.
I got you.
You see what I'm saying?
I got you. No, it's fair.
Come out there and say he crossed the line. No, he didn't cross the line. You opened the door for that. And I think Clark came out here respectfully in a professional manner, addressed that and said he didn't like that. So I think Robert, once again, the clown he is, he's a circus show. And that's, he's like, believe this, Robert Griffin III likes this attention he's getting from this right now.
All right, your phone is starting to break up, so I'm going to let you go. Plus, we're way past the break, but I appreciate it. I'll admit, I forgot about that. Because that happened over the weekend. I forgot about that part. I was more taking it from Clark's perspective and then Robert's response to that. I still don't think it's the right thing to do. Even if she was involved in the video, I still don't think that's the right thing to do. But that does add more layers to the story. That does add more layers to the story. I mean, it just does. It just does. All right. When we return, we may have maybe big breaking news on another power couple. Oh, wait till you hear this on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.